From Greenville, South Carolina, we present... Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to a broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's broadcast, Dr. Cairns continues a message entitled Godly Fear and Godly Dread, part of this series of studies in the book of Joshua. The text is just two verses, chapter 4, verse 24, and chapter 5, verse 1. The first speaks of the godly fear inspired in the children of Israel as they witnessed God's power in holding back the waters of the Jordan so they could enter Canaan on dry ground. In the second verse, we see the dread and the terror in the hearts of the heathen Canaanites as they heard of the victories of Israel and the awesome power of the God of heaven and earth. It is these two types of fear upon which Dr. Cairns is focusing in the course of this message. Those who know Christ as their personal Savior are struck with a godly fear as they consider the great transaction that took place on Calvary when the Son of God was made sin so that guilty sinners might be made the righteousness of God in Him. This is the kind of fear that inspires the people of God to worship Him, to serve Him, to desire to know more of Him. It also is a motivation to holiness and a source of confidence in witnessing and in the face of death. For the unsaved, however, the reactions are the exact opposite. For them, the good news of the gospel is an announcement of approaching judgment, filling them with dread. Before Dr. Cairns continues this message, please enjoy this devotional thought from Morning by Morning, taken from the writings of C.H. Spurgeon.
Our text for this morning is found in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19, The Precious Blood of Christ. Standing at the foot of the cross, we see hands and feet and side, all distilling crimson streams of precious blood. It is precious because of its redeeming and atoning efficacy. By it the sins of Christ's people are atoned for. They are redeemed from under the law. They are reconciled to God, made one with Him. Christ's blood is also precious in its cleansing power. It cleanseth from all sin. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Through Jesus' blood there is not a spot left upon any believer, no wrinkle nor any such thing remains. O precious blood, which makes us clean, removing the stains of abundant iniquity, and permitting us to stand accepted in the Beloved, notwithstanding the many ways in which we have rebelled against our God. The blood of Christ is likewise precious in its preserving power. We are safe from the destroying angel under the sprinkled blood. Remember, it is God's seeing the blood which is the true reason for our being spared. Here is comfort for us when the eye of faith is dim, for God's eye is still the same. The blood of Christ is precious also in its sanctifying influence. The same blood which justifies by taking away sin does in its after action quicken the new nature and lead it onward to subdue sin and to follow out the commands of God. There is no motive for holiness so great as that which streams from the veins of Jesus. And precious, unspeakably precious is this blood, because it has an overcoming power. It is written, They overcame through the blood of the Lamb. How could they do otherwise? He who fights with the precious blood of Jesus fights with a weapon which cannot know defeat. The blood of Jesus. Sin dies at its presence. Death ceases to be death. Heaven's gates are opened. The blood of Jesus. We shall march on, conquering and to conquer, so long as we can trust its power.
My beauty.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We want to say that we are greatly encouraged by the response of you, our listeners, to these broadcasts. We're grateful for the letters, the emails, and the phone calls we've received from many of you, some wanting to say thank you and telling us how much the Lord has blessed your heart through His Word. Some have spoken of life-changing experiences found through the preaching of the gospel. Some have written to ask for the literature that we offer here on the program. We want to remind you of the LTBS audio magazine. This is available in CD format only and is similar in content to the LTBS quarterly magazine, containing articles of great spiritual interest as well as sacred music that will point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. You may have a free copy of LTBS audio magazine simply by writing to LTBS 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's LTBS, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the broadcast, you may like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. In this connection, we'd like to call your attention to a series of video features on the website. In these video clips, Dr. Cairns answers questions from both believers and non-believers regarding various issues, such as, why did Christ have to be baptized? How do we know the Bible is the Word of God? and Is the Emerging Church Dangerous? These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
You never get to the place where you know enough of Christ. You never get to the place where you know too much of Christ. You never get to the place where you don't need to keep on growing in knowledge. And I want to tell you, when you stand at the cross and you understand something of Calvary, it will lead you to say, I know this much, but oh, I want to know more. I want to enter in deeply to the fellowship of the cross. As you stand there, it will cause you with awe to pursue true holiness. The fear of the Lord, said the psalmist, is clean, enduring forever. The book of Proverbs tells me the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. By the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. When Paul spoke to the Corinthians about perfecting holiness, he says you perfect holiness in the fear of the Lord. It is the fear of the Lord that leads God's people into the pursuit of holiness. And what greater motivation to holiness is there than a sight of the cross? You remember how Paul put it to the Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 6 verse 20. You are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. He brings them to Calvary. You're bought with the blood of the Lamb. Therefore live holy lives. Oh, as you stand at the cross, it will fill you with awe. An awe that will pursue holiness. But an awe also that will impart a strong confidence. There is in the fear of God this great confidence. Proverbs 14 verse 26 puts it in so many words. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. And his children shall have a place of refuge. That's not an idea that the ungodly mind associates with fear. But it is an idea that the Holy Ghost associates with the fear of the Lord. In the fear of the Lord, there's strong confidence. As you stand at the cross, isn't this a central New Testament doctrine? As you stand at the cross, it incites a reverent confidence and holy boldness. Gives you a boldness in approaching God. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Hebrews 10:19. Stand at the cross and you'll see the rent veil, and God will give you boldness to enter in. Standing at the cross, when the fear of God and the awe of grace grips your heart, it will give you boldness in witnessing before men. Acts chapter 4, verse 27 through 31 will show you how there the New Testament church, led by the apostles, cried out to God in the midst of great persecution, and they prayed, "Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servant that with all boldness they may speak thy word." When they had prayed, the place was shaken. They were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And a couple of verses later we read, "With great power gave the apostles witness." You see, when you understand the cross, it will fill your heart with such an awe of God that you'll have no fear of man, and with boldness you'll witness for Christ. Not only so, but in this fear of the Lord which you gain at Calvary, you will have boldness in facing death and judgment. You will be able to enter into that great statement of Paul in Romans 8:33-34, "Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth?" Just imagine now, you're facing death, you're facing that great last enemy, you're facing eternity. The flesh would tremble, the soul in itself would be fearful of it. But God bids you get to the cross. Fear your God, and you'll neither fear death nor hell, because you ask the question, "Who is he that condemneth?" It is Christ that died, yea, rather is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. God connects the thoughts again. Get to the cross, and you'll get boldness, even in the hour of death and facing judgment. Count Zinzendorf, translated by John Wesley, had that in mind in his great hymn, "Jesus, thy blood and righteousness my beauty are, my glorious dress. Midst flaming worlds in these arrayed, with joy shall I lift up my head. Bold shall I stand in that great day. For who aught to my charge shall lay? Fully absolved from these I am, from sin and fear and guilt and shame." Here is that godly fear, incited in our heart, engendered in our soul by a sight of the work of Christ. That godly fear that grips the hearts of the people of God. It's a veritable treasure house of grace. But you know, the same event has very different effects on different people. The gospel says Paul is not only a savor of life to believers, but it's a savor of death to unbelievers. And that's why we go from Joshua 4:24 to Joshua 5:1 to a totally different kind of fear. And we note that sinners react to the gospel with guilty dread. When the kings of the Amorites in the west side of Jordan, etc., when they heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of Jordan from before the children of Israel, their heart melted, neither was their spirit in them anymore because of the children of Israel. Oh, they had a fear. Very different fear from that of the Israelites. They had a fear. But it was the fear of absolute terror and dread. The Lord had promised this after the Red Sea crossing, that the people shall hear and be afraid. Sorrow shall take hold upon the inhabitants of Palestine. In verse 16 of Exodus 15, he says, fear and dread shall fall upon them. That came to pass. Rahab testified even before the passage over Jordan. In Joshua 2, verses 9 and 11, Rahab had testified that the inhabitants of Jericho were already gripped by terror. Now that the children of Israel had had a safe passage and God had done a great work, what an awful dread filled their hearts. That's why I said at the beginning, try to put yourself in that city. Try to understand what they were thinking. It's amazing and alarming that the same gospel should have such different effects on those who hear it. When you stand at the cross and look at Calvary, when God makes it real to you, that moves Christians by healthy fear and reverence to worship and praise and serve in holiness. Gives them confidence. But oh, when sinners stand there, they're gripped with rebellious dread. And I want to tell you, my friend, if you're not saved, the message of the cross, if you reject it, is a message that gives you good ground for dread. Consider the inhabitants of the land very quickly. The news of God's work in leading the children of Israel through Jordan told them that the hour of judgment was fast approaching. We read this morning in Nahum chapter 1 that the Lord is slow to anger. He took hundreds of years to give these inhabitants of the land time to fill up the cup of their iniquity. He gave them time. For hundreds of years they went on and on and on. But the longer God waited for judgment, the more deeply and with the more abandon did they sin. Oh, they knew the day of reckoning was coming. There's not a sinner but that knows in his heart that the day of reckoning is coming. But like the people of Jericho, sinners, put it out of their mind. Well, forget about it. Live as if it were never going to happen. That's how they lived. But now they recognized it's upon us. And that's the statement that the cross of Christ makes to sinners. John 12:31 speaks of the cross, and Jesus says, now is the judgment of this world. The cross of Christ is a place where the judgment of God is clearer than any other place on earth. If you want to see the judgment of God most clearly displayed, you'll not see it at Sodom and Gomorrah. You'll not see it in the flood in Noah's time. Oh yes, you'll see something of God's judgment there. But if you want to see the fullness of His justice and judgment, you go to the cross, where He says He spared not His own Son. Here's the question. Will He then spare you? Some of you here this morning have hardened your heart against grace. You've turned a blind eye to every message that God has placarded before your vision. You've turned a deaf ear to every word that He has thundered or whispered, as the case may be. You've deliberately, stubbornly, willfully, wickedly gone on in sin, dismissing from your mind every thought of grace, every invitation of mercy, and every warning of judgment. Let me tell you, you must deal with the Christ of Calvary. You look at that cross, you think of this: God spared not His own sinless Son when He took our sins upon Him. How then will He spare you in all the hideous wickedness of your own guilt and depravity? God hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. Notice, by that man, Christ Jesus. By that man, millions are saved, but by that man, millions are judged. Learn it. The day of judgment is upon us. So says the cross.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.